This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Joining me on the long line from Washington, Congressman Tom Perriello. He is the representative of Virginia's 5th District and joins us once a month on this little program. Congressman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. My voice is a little bit gone, but I'm happy to be here.
I bet it is gone, and might that have something to do with the couple dozen town hall meetings that you have going on in this just in 1 month alone?
Well, we're about to start our 12th one out here in Nelson County, and several of them have gone well over 4 hours. So it's quite a marathon, and exciting to see so many people engaged in the debate on all different sides, and we're just trying to make the most of that, and not just the town halls at night, but really a lot of meetings during the day with medical experts and chambers of commerce and everyone else in between, and really just getting a wide range of perspectives. And I think most people are really eager for some form of reform, and there's a lot of disagreement about what that should look like.
We're talking with Tom Perriello from Virginia's 5th District. The phone lines are always open for you to join this conversation. If you have any questions for the congressman at 977-1070. Before we get into specifics, just broad strokes here, your thoughts about healthcare reform in America, the conversation, the debate, and what's been going on, and what you're hearing at the town halls.
Well, you know, I think there are a couple of different conversations going on. I think for a lot of folks, particularly a lot of true conservatives, there's primarily an ideological debate about the role of government. I think for most of the folks in the middle, it's really a pragmatic debate about cost containment. People have seen premiums go through the roof as, you know, family members, as business leaders. And if they believe this thing is going to create the kind of competition that will bring costs down, people are for it. And, you know, I've talked to, I think, 4 different small business owners today who searched me out just saying they just can't afford to keep paying the kind of skyrocketing premiums that they're being asked to pay, but they don't want to, you know, cut off that care to their workers. So I think that's the impasse where folks are at. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the bill, and that's partly because it's a complicated bill. But I think, again, for most people in the middle, it's really a pragmatic question, which is this going to bring costs down or bring costs up? And most of the experts are starting to say the latest drafts are going to bring them down.
Now, the last time we spoke, you said that you hadn't really made up your mind about the bill. There was some of the stuff in it you liked, a lot of it you didn't like. Where is your thinking on the reform package now, which we should underscore the fact that it's very fluid. It's still coming together. There is no final version of anything as of yet.
Right. Well, you know, I was a vocal opponent of voting on the bill before August. I thought it was very important to take the month both to road test it with the American people and also send it through the ringer of the experts and looking at what they think is going to work, what they think isn't going to work, and also looking for unintended consequences that you always want to watch out for. I think as people have stepped back and taken a breath and taken a look at it, we're being able to see some of the really good parts. I think there are a number of things in there that are going to force more competition between insurance companies and force them to compete for the business of the uninsured. This is not a situation where the uninsured are getting free health care. It's actually flipping from currently them getting free health care, but unfortunately through the emergency room, to buying into a system where they would have health insurance coverage. So it's definitely getting closer to the kind of reforms that I think will create that competition to contain costs. We'll see if we can keep going in that direction. But that's going to be the litmus test for me.
We're talking with Tom Perriello, Congressman from Virginia's 5th District. We had a caller ask to what extent you actually read this whole bill. And fill us in on that, because there's some folks who think you don't read any of it. You read summaries. And to what extent do you actually go page by page and read this bill?
Well, you know, I've read the 3 versions of the House bill, all of which are insanely long, and they'll be combined into a pre-conference bill that'll be the baseline we work on when we get back. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of reasons for concern about these sorts of things. And the fact is, I read the bill, and as bills change, we tend to get kind of changes, whether it's in the caucus meeting or on our BlackBerry. And even most of the last-minute amendments are ones that have been percolating along in various forms, so they're not out of nowhere. But, you know, I believe that it's not just us that should read it, but the American people should have a chance to read it. We try to post the drafts on our website as soon as they're available and give people a place where they can comment on that. So I think more transparency is a good thing on that. And obviously the Senate version still hasn't come together.
Yeah, there is no version in the Senate as of now, just a bunch of different drafts. And we would urge people to read more than the context-less sentences that they might get from an interest group in an email.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of those groups have been really disappointing just through being just so disingenuous. I mean, there are plenty of places where reasonable people can disagree about the right or wrong direction to go with healthcare reform, but there's other stuff that just isn't in there, and, you know, I think that hasn't been constructive to the debate. And, you know, that's why we're trying to get out there and explain what is in it, whether I end up being for it or against it, and I'm still a no on the bill for now. I at least want people to know what it is that they should be, you know, responding to. And, you know, again, people have lots of thoughts on that. But the misinformation hasn't been constructive. But I think the concerns are very genuine from people.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Perriello. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you got a question, we'd love to have you join the conversation. Tom, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions that you're hearing from people? And we'll leave for speculation where these misconceptions came from. We'll leave that to, you know, some investigative journalist somewhere. But what are those misconceptions out there? I guess we could start with death panels. That's certainly one that I think a third of Americans believe there's some truth to them, which is I find staggering that many people would think that would be a true thing.
Well, you know, we sort of saw that one come and go a little bit in the town halls. I don't get as many questions about euthanasia and death panels now. I think people have kind of figured out that that's not in there. Not everyone, but a big chunk of people have. There were concerns that the government was going to get access to people's personal bank accounts. Also not in there. It's really about the electronic billing between healthcare providers, hospitals, and insurance companies. And if there's any ambiguity, we can obviously clear that up. You know, the other, I think, broader misconception is the idea that this is kind of a new welfare program to give free health care to the poor. Well, for the most part, the poor already have health care through Medicaid. This is actually really focused on trying to get people who don't currently buy insurance to buy into the system rather than dumping the cost of their health care onto, you know, middle class and small business owners who have to pick that up through higher premiums. So the goal of this, you know, the biggest driver of premium increases in recent years, which can be 12 to 20% increases every year, is that cost of the uninsured being dumped onto those of us who have insurance and pay. So this is really more about trying to get people into the system, paying into the system, who currently are not doing so, rather than being about free health care. So the idea here is we all know health care costs are going up too much, looking at what some of those drivers are and trying to address them.
We're talking with Tom Perriello, congressman from Virginia's 5th District. And also, too, I hear some folks, and I've actually gotten emails from people complaining about the bill. There seems to be a conception out there that people who are happy with their health care the way it is totally now are going to be forced into something different. But it was my understanding that if you have health care that you like, that you can totally keep that untouched and you don't have to do anything different.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you wanted to get a short bill, you could write a short bill if you wanted to do a radical overhaul of the healthcare system and just rewrite the system. What takes a lot more work is to actually protect the system as it is while trying to fill in the gaps and holes. So this system is based on the idea of trying to protect and keep people who like their insurance, people who have their private insurance, keep employer-based insurance as the bedrock of our system while trying to address market failure, which is where the groups who are currently uninsured don't have coverage. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a lot simpler and more direct if this were a radical proposal, but the core of it is really to protect people who currently have their private insurance. Most people, actually, what they like is their relationship with their doctor. Many people are very frustrated with their insurance companies, and they're very frustrated with how much they're paying for it. So, you know, the idea is to try to keep the parts of the system that work and address the parts that don't.
The phone lines are open if you've got a question for Congressman Tom Perriello at 977-1070. Tom, with your dad as a very well-known physician here in Central Virginia, his work touched so many lives here and generations of families here in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. You have a very special window onto this world growing up as the son of a family doctor. And I'm wondering to what extent that informs your thinking about what's broken and what are some of the solutions to fix this challenge.
Well, I mean, it does. My father obviously practiced for a long time. My sister is now part of Pediatric Associates as a pediatrician. My brother-in-law is a GI doc at UVA, and aunt is a nurse. So been around that kind of medical care. And I think, you know, my father, to be honest, was one of those people who really hated Hillary care back in 94 until he saw, you know, what happened in the wake of it with HMOs and insurance companies run amok. And, you know, he really had so much frustration. It was one of his biggest frustrations late in his career was, you know, here he would make a decision about a patient only to get overruled by an insurance company. And the business that came into medicine, you know, they actually sold their practice for a while to a business to run it and then bought it back because they just couldn't stand the way that what that meant in terms of volume-based medicine and not being able to do so many of the things that, you know, got him into medicine in the first place. So I think, you know, a lot of the frustrations with the insurance companies and the idea that, you know, medical providers are now answering to shareholders and not to patients. You know, he used to sort of talk about when people would say, we've got to protect the doctor-patient relationship, he would say, where have they been for the last few years? We have to restore it. It's not a matter of protecting it, because that had been invaded because people are answering to that shareholder. So part of what this bill is about is trying to create a competition in which the best way to get a return to the shareholder is to provide good quality care to the patient. You know, but it also makes me very sympathetic to arguments about tort reform. And not just because of the cost of the litigation, but because it takes some of the joy out of medicine for people who get into it as a calling. What I think is backwards, though, is the Republican approach, which is about capping penalties in cases where someone did do something wrong. Where that's been tried, first of all, it's in situations where someone did something wrong, and second, it's, you know, really it not had much impact on malpractice insurance in states that have done it. What we need to get at is the frivolous lawsuits that really just cloud up the system and drag people down. And I'd like to see the medical community, like MCV has, set standards of care, have a rebuttable presumption of no liability if that standard of care is met, and really try to move some of that out of the system. So, you know, I always try to think about that. I obviously am... I miss him every day, and particularly, you know, it's been tough to not have him as part of this debate going forward.
Yeah, but, I would imagine so. We are talking with Tom Perriello. He is a congressman from Virginia's 5th District, and we're honored to have him on the program. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's go to Stephen, waiting patiently. Oh, we lost Stephen. Let's go to Shane on line 3. Shane, you're on with Tom Perriello. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm not Shane, I'm actually Robert, but waiting.
Go ahead, Robert, go ahead.
The question that I have, we're not limited to just health care, are we? First of all, are we limited to health care, or can we ask any question?
Yeah, go ahead. If you've got a question for Tom Perriello, that's fine.
The question I've got has to do with, we right now have the Clucker program to try to reduce inefficient vehicles on the road, as well as our dependency upon oil. We had a method back a few years ago that was tried and true that saved a lot of lives, that saved a lot of gas, and that was simply setting the maximum speed limit at 55 miles on the highways. I know politically that's not something people want to talk about, but if we went back to the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, it would save lives, it would save a lot of gasoline, and the vehicles, the Gas for Clunkers program, really only helps those who can afford to buy a car. Those who can't afford to buy a car, it doesn't help them at all. Or those that have very, very old cars, it doesn't help them. So, tried and true, why don't we go back to it?
Robert, thanks for the question. Tom?
You know, it's a state decision, not a federal decision, but I think there is no question that there's a correlation of lives saved and gas saved from that, and that's weighed against whatever's seen as the public policy benefit of having the higher speed limit. But, you know, it's certainly an outside-the-box idea on that. I think on the Cash for Clunkers side, it's true that was part of the goal, but the way it ended up being written, it was much more about trying to kind of boost consumer confidence and keep dealers open that were on the brink of closing, and you know, I think it has actually been fairly successful in that sense. And what was important to me with that was that we only use money that had already been allocated for other stimulus programs. So shifting from programs that weren't working to programs that were working for that program, which I thought was important.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. And we should point out, just as an aside regarding the speed limits, it is a state issue. That's not a federal issue. But the Republican nominee for governor, Bob McDonnell, has been proposing to actually increase the speed limit in some parts of Virginia to 75 miles per hour. So just the opposite of what Robert is suggesting. Hey, Tom, let's change subjects if you can. Get your thoughts. What is all this about some fraud letters that were sent to you, urging you to vote a certain way on somebody else's letterhead? And what was that all about?
Well, you know, it's the sort of thing that turns people off to politics so much. It's a firm, and the way it seems to work is one group hires another group that hires another group that hires another group to do the dirty work. And they were basically just taking the letterhead of respected local organizations like JABA and the Senior Center and the NAACP and writing letters as if from them, telling me to oppose energy independence. And, you know, I think it's just so beyond the pale of most people's sense of decency that it's led to a pretty big backlash. You know, nothing much shocks me anymore with what I see going on up there and with, you know, the misinformation on healthcare as well. But, you know, I think for those who just sort of assume people still operate on a basic sense of decency, it was a, I think it was a wake-up call of just how this works. And, you know, they've called me to apologize, but they knew before the vote happened and didn't call me then. And, you know, I think this is these are very, very sophisticated operations that run. They do AstroTurf organizing to make it look local and grassroots and combine that with very major TV ad buys. And, you know, it skews the debate. Obviously, we came to our attention because we try to respond when our constituents write. And, you know, I gave folks a call and it didn't add up. And someone up in Congress, I'm not sure who, has decided to do an investigation into it. But, you know, I'm not getting too distracted by it. But, you know, certainly when people do that sort of thing, they should be held, you know, it should see the light of day.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello of Virginia's 5th District. Honored to have him back on the program.
There's, well, I'm actually going to have to pop off to go into the town hall meeting here in Nelson, but thank you for having me, and I will try to see you on the flip side.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Tom Perriello has a town hall tonight in Nelson County to discuss health care reform in America. We're going to take a break for local news and weather. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.